Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I am so excited to be doing this fantastic show, Talk Healthy Today. I always learn so much, and I hope you do too. We are being joined now by one of my favorite doctors. His name is Dr. Mark. He is from the Menno Clinic Center for Advanced Medicine. Today, we're going to be talking about something very exciting, reversing Alzheimer's without medication through natural lifestyle programs. This is my cup of tea. Hello, Dr. Mark.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great. Wintertime in Jackson Hole is one of my favorites. We've got the most snow anywhere in the country. We're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I've heard you've been skiing a lot. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's been really fun, really fun.
Oh, good. Well, it also sounds like you've been doing some amazing work. Now, before we jump into our topic, tell us a little bit about the Menno Clinic.
I'm Dr. Mark Menno-Lucino. I'm trained as an internal medicine specialist, but when I was in high school, I worked with Dean Ornish on his reversing heart disease program. And saw that if you taught people how to eat right, how to exercise, how to deal with stress, that they didn't need a bypass surgery of their heart. That was very powerful medicine. So I embarked on a journey to get the best training in internal medicine, but also to get all the other tools of naturopathics, integrative medicine, holistic medicine. And I'm now in the faculty for the Institute for Functional Medicine. We're located here in Jackson Hole, and we're a clinic that's really focusing on prevention and wellness and optimal health. My current passion is on cognitive health because I think it's really the next big frontier. And what we're doing right now in medicine for cognitive health just frankly isn't working. So we've developed some new programs. We're working with Dale Bredesen out of the Buck Institute. And we're now putting on a formal training program for teaching physicians this new protocol for reversing cognitive decline. It's very exciting.
It really is. And I think this is where we need to go. The paradigm does need to shift. And we really need to look at natural lifestyle programs beyond just for like losing weight, heart disease, things like that. So talk to us about what you found so far, what's working, and how we can learn more.
Well, one thing that we've realized is that the monotherapy approach to Alzheimer's just isn't going to work. The single drug therapy that we use seems to have some marginal to modest benefit to slow down the process of dementia, but it doesn't really seem to do much at the end of the day. And Lisa, when you talk about natural programs and products to reverse Alzheimer's, it sounds like an internet soundbite. What's great is that it's now actually clinically based, evidence-based functional medicine in practice. So the protocols are in place. And the way we talk about it, it's kind of like there's 36 holes in the roof. And if you patch one hole, no matter how good that patch is, the roof still leaks. So it's trying to look at everybody through this functional medicine lens and assess based on their genetics, their nutritional deficiencies, their hormone imbalance, and try to find a personalized program for each one of those persons to see which of those holes we need to fix.
Now, you mentioned functional medicine. For people who are new, tell us about what that means.
Well, the functional medicine to me is the future. And I started with holistic medicine when I was in the medical school at the American Holistic Medical Student Association. Then I worked with Andrew Weil, and we called it integrative medicine. Then this concept of functional medicine, where we look at the body in its seven different systems. We look at an individualized approach. And what I tell my patients is, we're going to actually lift up the rock and see what's underneath it rather than put another coat of paint on it. But functional is looking at these functional deficiencies or imbalances that are unique to each individual based on their genetics and the lifestyle factors that they bathe over their genetics. Part of this is the whole idea of epigenetics. It's a big word just to say that you're not doomed to your parents' destiny. Your genetics are modifiable based on how you treat them. You open that book of life, and each chapter and each page you pull can be different based on the information you bathe over those genes, based on the nutrition you use and the lifestyle choices that you make.
That is the way we need to be going. I think functional medicine makes so much sense. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, that you're really looking at each person and where their holes are, so to say. By the way, that was a great analogy. I love that with the roof. But I'm assuming there's certain things that everybody needs to do. Talk to us a little bit more about this.
Well, what we've done is broken down the different types of cognitive impairment, which is early dementia and dementia, into different subtypes. Some of them are inflammatory, and these are the patients who are carrying extra weight, they're type 2 diabetic or insulin resistant, all their inflammatory markers are very high, they're eating the typical inflammatory, sad American diet, and this is the type 1 inflammatory. The type 2 is what we call atrophic or lack of. And these are people like women who had hysterectomies with their ovaries removed at age 38 and had no hormone support. So with the lack of hormones, lack of vitamin D, lack of a lot of the natural things that support the system, they kind of atrophy and wither away a little bit. And the brain does just as the rest of the body does. Then the last concept is this idea of toxic. And there's a whole new host of ideas. We've always been worried about heavy metals in the environment, but heavy metals in the brain just do not get along well. There's also the idea of other biotoxins that may be related to Lyme disease and the mold therapies. And that's kind of a new emerging concept. But really it's this inflammatory, it's the atrophic or lack of, and then it's this toxic. And most people fit into one of those subtypes that gets us an idea of where we want to personalize the care. And to me, this is what's so exciting is it's a collaborative care team. It's a nutritionist, it's an exercise support team, it's sleeping right, it's eating right, it's doing the right nutrition, and it involves no medication. And this is not something that we're going to do a clinical trial of a single medication to hope it works, but it's this entire systematic, programmatic, individualized program, which really is at the heart of what functional medicine does.
Now, if somebody does have the heavy metals, how do they know? I'm assuming there's tests for this.
You know, heavy metals is a really loaded term, and there's a lot of alternative therapies being promoted for heavy metals. But there are simple ways to assess it by blood tests, by urinalysis. And some people actually do what's called a provocative challenge, which you have to be careful of, where they use an oral chelation agent to try to bring it out of the tissue. A good example, Lisa, is women over the age of 60, a lot of them carry extra lead because they were running around when we had leaded gasoline, whereas my daughter won't get exposed to leaded gasoline. And so their bones, as they start to wear over age and they have a little bit of leaching of the bone, the lead will leach out. So that's something that we see very commonly. But a lot of people genetically are just hypersensitive to certain specific other metals. And mercury is the one that's gotten all the banter with Robert Kennedy Jr. Jumping in on that as well. But I do think the real question is, who's the canary in the coal mine? And now we can see, based on your genetics, who can get exposure to heavy metal, process it, and excrete it based on the health of their liver, health of their gut, and the way their genetics allow them to process things. So again, it's really looking at this individualized way, because two people with the same exposure may have two markedly different outcomes. But who's the canary in the coal mine? We can now find those people.
That is so fascinating. And it's making me think, too, about the fact that if you are eating a good diet, like just taking this back to diet for a moment or whatever, you know, people always say that, oh, I eat a healthy diet. What is your definition? What do you think makes for the best way to eat? And especially when we're trying to reverse Alzheimer's.
Well, you know, the best studies that have been done so far on the Mediterranean diet, and the Mediterranean diet showed us that we can reduce all-cause mortality by 50%. What that basically says is that you can reduce your risk of death by 50% based on how you eat. Now, believe me, Lisa, if there was a medication that could reduce your mortality 50%, it would be a multi-billion-dollar drug. There is none. So really, food is your medicine, kitchen's your pharmacy, lifestyle is your physician. That's what Hippocrates taught us thousands of years ago. The question is, what's the right nutritional plan for you? So I don't like the word diet, because the first three letters are what? Die. I like the individualized, personalized nutrition based on, number one, your genetics, number two, your belief system, number three, your culture, number four, your personalized nutritional needs. Because we know that almost 60% of Americans are deficient in magnesium, but your magnesium needs might be 1 to 2 to 100 times more than mine, because we're so biochemically individual. And that's really where the genetics helps to teach us who are the people that need certain amounts of other things versus different models. And so it's really looking at personalizing your nutrition base. I do believe kind of the Mediterranean-based diet, good proteins, healthy fruits and vegetables, selected grains, really is what the future diet is. But some people don't do well with grains, period. Some people don't do well with the glycemic load of certain fruits. So it's really looking at a personalized nutrition plan for most people.
So when you're doing this in the cognitive reversal program with the Institute for Functional Medicine, you have to get a baseline where people are. And how do you know these things? How do you know how much magnesium they need compared to the next person? How do you individualize it exactly?
Well, the great thing is that we've been doing this here at the Mental Clinic for a decade now. We've been looking at reversing heart disease, reversing diabetes, reversing cognitive decline, because a lot of the similar mechanisms of inflammation, of atrophic factors, of nutrient deficiencies have downstream effects on all of those disease states and all those chronic illnesses. I really feel the functional medicine model, as does the Cleveland Clinic, because they have a functional medicine clinic in the Cleveland Clinic, is betting the future of our healthcare system on functional medicine, because it's the chronic illness that's affecting us. And I really feel like the cognitive decline, as far as not only the patient suffering, but the caregiver burden, the amount of hours caregiving that are spent for Alzheimer's patients is going to break our system, and it's just going to add to the burden of the other chronic illness. So we're able to look, again, at your individualized genetics. We're able to look at your micronutrients, to look at your efficiency of those micronutrients, and to look at other biomarkers. Now, this is far beyond what you get. For example, if one of our listeners were to take their mother to their doctor to be assessed for cognitive decline, dementia, or Alzheimer's, they'll get 5 blood tests, a complete blood count, which is not really very complete. It's just your basic blood count, your basic chemistry panel. They'll do a basic thyroid test. They'll do a B12, and they may or may not do an MRI. Our eventual model looks at 46 different things, as well as those 36 holes in the roof. So we're expanding these biomarkers, and every day there are more biomarkers. And just think of a biomarker as a lab value or a nutrient value. And again, certain people have certain needs based on their individual genetics. But we're able to look at a much, much more comprehensive. For example, our heart evaluation we do here at the Mental Clinic, the traditional health fair cholesterol test is from 1972. There's 4 things they look at. We look at 27 different markers because it gives us a more personalized approach to what's your risk, not how do you fit on the bell-shaped curve of average. So that's what I think a lot of us are looking for is, you know, please find a way to individualize my care based on my behaviors, my patterns, and my genetics to help give me a plan to not have diabetes, heart disease, and cognitive impairment. And I think the future's here. We now have the tools to do that. It's very, very exciting.
It really is. I was about to say that. It sounds incredibly exciting. Well, let's talk about, with the cognitive reversal program, just how much can you reverse? And obviously, I'm assuming there might be some slight memory loss to senility to actual full-blown Alzheimer's. I'm assuming there's a range and a range of what can be done.
There is. And we talk about mild cognitive impairment to severe cognitive impairment, and all the way to Alzheimer's. And really what they all are is that they're memory issues. And what we're finding is people that had to stop going to work because of their memory are now going back to work. And the way I think about it, Lisa, it's kind of like a hill, that as you climb up the hill and at the top of the hill, we can protect you. As you start to fall off the other side of the hill, we can pull you back. Once you're too far down that hill, the inertia is just too much to try to get you back. And so once you're in the severe state, it's very, very difficult to reverse. But I feel that currently and very shortly, most mild, most moderate, and some severe cognitive impairment is reversible. And again, it depends on why does that person have it. We've thought in the past it's just because they have these plaques and tangles in the brain. We might find that those are actually a bystander effect, and they're not the reason why you have cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's or dementia. But it's these other factors, these other deficiencies that led you as a unique individual. The real exciting thing for me is I call it the first degree relatives. What we really want to focus on now are the people whose parents have dementia. Because as I said earlier, you're not destined to be your parents, but you have a genetic predisposition to be at risk for some of the things they have. And if we can catch you in your 30s, your 40s, your early 50s, we can prevent you from having any difficulty in your 60s and 70s. And to me, that's going to be the group that's going to have the biggest benefit from this whole training program, this whole modeling behavior, is we can prevent it from even starting. And if we prevent cognitive decline and Alzheimer's, we're also preventing obesity, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis. It's so exciting because it's the same underlying underpinnings. They just manifest differently based on what your predisposition is.
Really exciting.
That's the true benefit of this functional medicine approach is that, you're not an itis that needs to go to an ologist. You don't have arthritis or gastroenteritis or dermatitis or encephalitis or endocarditis. You don't have these inflammatory itises, and you don't need to see a bunch of ologists like the cardiologist, the gastroenterologist, the neurologist, because everyone works, and there's great physicians out there doing great medicine, but they work in a silo where they only understand their silo. They're unable to look beyond their area of expertise. And what we do in functional medicine is we utilize all of that. So it doesn't mean that a functional medicine doctor is better than a traditional doctor. It's mean we're trained differently to look at the whole person, look at them as a system, and to approach us as a systems approach, not a silo approach. And the outcomes are, frankly, just better.
Yeah, they definitely are. Now, Dr. Mark, when you went to medical school, did you have this in the back of your mind that you wanted to go beyond just what they teach you? Because I've heard that when you do go to medical school, you might have 2 hours of nutrition, if even that, and there really isn't a focus on the prevention side.
Well, that's a great point, Lisa. We actually got about 40 minutes of nutrition disguised as scurvy and rickets.
Oh, my goodness.
But now there are some really excellent academic centers that are taking nutrition to heart, and it's really the Institute for Functional Medicine is spearheading this. But they are realizing nutrition is important, and there's a lot to teach medical students. A couple of funny stories. My first day of medical school, the chancellor came in and said, students, half of what we teach you in the next 4 years will be proven false by the time you graduate. Your job is to figure out which half. So
oh,
that
wow.
was a little bit of a humbling term. And I'm kind of a unique person in this movement in that a lot of physicians are ER doctors or gynecologists or anesthesiologists that got burned out in the traditional care, were looking for a different way to practice and discovered functional medicine and integrative medicine. I actually wanted to be an astronaut because I saw Neil Armstrong walk on the moon at age 7. And it was Dean Ornish's fault because he came to Omaha when I was a senior in high school and said he was going to take 100 men who were scheduled for bypass surgery and talk them out of it. My dad was chairman of psychiatry. He said, of course, this guy's crazy. You better meet him. And we got along great. He's one of my good friends. He's a mentor for me. And I saw way back then that there's other things than what they're going to teach in med school. So I became an internal medicine specialist because I wanted the diagnostic acumen of the best doctors. But I trained in the Chinese model, naturopathics, homeopathics, osteopathics. I wanted to get the rest of the toolbox. So I have 4 board certifications. I'm definitely overtrained. My favorite thing is to go to conferences and learn more. And it's an ever lifelong passion. And I feel like I'm very fortunate to have seen this 35 years ago, and now it's actually come to fruition. This is the future of our healthcare system. This is how people want to be cared for, want to be looked at, want to be engaged, and the outcomes are just plain better. It's really how things are going to get better in our healthcare system. It's very, very exciting right now.
Well, thank goodness. You know, it's funny, Dr. Mark, when you mentioned, you know, these qualifications, I'm looking at your name. You've got an MD, an MS, an ABIHM, I've never heard of, an ABAARM, and an IFMCP. Okay, what are these?
So I'm an internal medicine specialist, and that's the highest training you can get as a diagnostician. They taught me in med school, when you hear hoofbeats, think of horses. If you become an internist, you better know every single zebra. So I wanted to have that diagnostic skill, so as a functional medicine doctor, I can diagnose things, not just be doing the natural part of it. The ABIHM is the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine, and I'm actually sitting for the former board, where they're going to become a formal physician specialty, just like internal medicine, starting in 2017, which is super exciting. The IFMCP is the Institute for Functional Medicine Certified Practitioner, and the ABAARM is the American Board of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. I wanted to get certified in bioidentical hormones 10 years ago, to really understand what was happening with hormones for men and women. And really, hormones are a big component of this for women for cognitive decline. We do give estrogen to older women, but we know who to give what to. We give it in the right form, and we monitor it like a hawk so they don't get into trouble. So a lot of this has to do with hormone therapy for women, and it's something that is kind of a new frontier, but we watch people super close. I also have a master's in pharmacology immunology where I had the psychiatrist and psychologist sit down with the immunologist. And we talked about the brain and the body and how they related, how the nervous system, the immune system, and the brain talk to each other. This was 30 years ago. And, you know, we're now finding that we're unlocking the black box that was called the brain. In med school, they told me the brain had no immune system. It was completely protected. We now know the brain has its own immune system, and it markedly interacts with the rest of the body's immune system. Now, a lot of what we're talking about in reversal cognitive decline is a lot to do with this system. Think about it like osteoporosis. There's one cell that builds bone, and there's one cell that tears it down. We think of the brain the same way. There's certain cells that build brain cells, and there's certain cells that tear them down. Yes, you can increase your brain size. You can increase your brain health, but you've got to feed it the food and the fertilizer and the medicine it needs for your unique brain to get healthy. And we now have cracked the code to figure out what that is and have a protocol to do it for each individual.
Dr. Mark, there are so many things that I want you to come back to talk about. I want to touch on the hormones to start with. So we'll be having that on the show very soon. I think you have so much to offer. I don't think you do. I know you do. In the last couple minutes, I would love to hear an example. What have you seen with the new cognitive reversal program with the Institute for Functional Medicine? Could you, you know, without sharing obviously too many personal details of the person, just, you know, give us a little bit of what you've seen?
Well, I was actually at the Buck Institute, which is in Novato, California, north of San Francisco, where Dr. Del Bredesen is the CEO, and they've really been the leaders in this cognitive decline, and Dr. Bredesen really has been one of the world's experts championing this concept, of which I've talked about. And we think about this cognitive impairment and dementia as these three subtypes. For example, I've had women in their 50s, and we've had over 25 to 30 people in the last couple of years we've run through the program with 70 to 80% success. Like I said, if you're severe, it's a very difficult thing to pull back. But the mild to moderate dementia is really quite simple to reverse. And again, they have more energy, they feel better, they sleep better. It's not just working on the brain, it's working on the entire body. So we've had women that have been overweight, have had type 2 diabetes, have had inflammatory markers very, very high, insulin resistant, vitamin D deficient, just very, very inflamed. And their brains are susceptible to this inflammation. And when we cool the fire, their brain gets healthier. We've had women and men that are very, very low on hormones. For example, we had a gentleman 2 years ago that walked in and said, my cholesterol is 98, the lowest my doctor's ever seen. And I said, well, I bet your testosterone's low. He said, funny you say that. It's the lowest testosterone he's ever seen. So he was put on a very high dose of a statin drug, which is known to cause dementia. And by removing the statin drug, he got a little better. So it wasn't just the statin drug. His testosterone was very, very low, and the testosterone ranges are an 18-year-old to an 80-year-old. So if you're 60 and your testosterone's low by the lab range, you're very, very low. And so we don't put people to super therapeutic or super high levels. We get them to age-appropriate levels. So we started him on testosterone. Within 3 months, all of his memory issues were cleared. We actually presented that at a conference and won an award as a research abstract for a case study. So we do see this, and it's really looking at each individual. Why are they having the memory issues? What type do they fit in? What are these subtypes? Then what holes in their roof, which of those 36 holes do we need to fix first? And you don't have to do all 36 for everybody, but you'll find some are very consistent, universal, like these inflammatory markers, these low hormone markers, low vitamin D, and some of the other nutrient deficiencies we see in almost everyone that comes in here with memory issues. And again, once we fix the memory, we protect their heart, we prevent them from getting diabetes.
Dr. Mark, I am beyond impressed. This has been absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to have you back. In the meantime, tell us all how we can find you online.
Well, our website is www.menoclinic, that's MENOCLINIC.com. We currently have a destination wellness where you can come to Jackson Hole with your family, spend a few days getting evaluated here or your family member while your family skis in the winter, takes horse sleigh rides, snowshoes or in the summer, rafts, kayaks, rock climbs, hikes, fly fish. So we have a destination that is world class here, as well as my goal is to put the Menno Clinic ahead of every other experience you've had, both in the personalization and in the professionalism. We are doing things here that are not being done other places that are at the cutting edge. And my promise to you is I'll always stay on the cutting edge.
Dr. Mark, this has been such a pleasure. Folks, you're definitely going to hear more from Dr. Mark here on Talk Healthy Today. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss a single show. Don't forget we do Foodie Fridays every Friday, which is super fun. I always get great recipes that I'd love to make. In the meantime, you can also check us out at RadioMD.com. I want to thank everybody for listening. Stay well.